Are we on? I got a pretty good loud mouth anyway, but my dentist says it's not a big mouth, but it's a loud mouth. Well, we're glad to be here. This, I don't know, fourth or fifth time I've been here. You didn't have it last year, is that right?
Last 2 years,
so...
Okay,
well, the last time I was here, I was probably still in Zanesville, but we have been in Logan now for the last 2.5 years and enjoying the work there. It's a small congregation, a little different. Zanesville was close to 200, and Logan, we've got about 30-some, but we're enjoying it very much. Great people there, and we're enjoying the work there. I don't know who puts these together. Is it you, Alan? I don't know how long you have to stop and think about these unique themes and topics. But grow vitamins at your kitchen door. Okay, well, I think, you know, how am I going to handle that? So I decided to go with the simple way. And so that's what we're going to do tonight, and you'll see as we go along. I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growth is what our Christian life's really all about. We ought to be growing and trying to help others grow at the same time. And so if we're not growing, then there's a problem somewhere. And so we even have, you might as well say, a direct command here that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, that's what your whole theme is all about, is growing, growing a victory garden. And as we talk about vitamins, you know, again, that's part of growing, part of being healthy. You know, vitamins are necessary to a healthy life. And we receive those vitamins quite a bit when we eat a healthy diet. But then we don't always do that, do we? We don't always eat the healthy diet. And so sometimes we can get the vitamins through supplements or something like that. And even the doctor will often prescribe a supplement for us to make up a deficiency that we might have. The most common vitamins really seem to be vitamin A, B, C, D, and E. There are others, of course, but those seem to be more common than most. And so I want us to consider those five vitamins for a few moments this evening, but we want to consider them in a spiritual sense. So first of all, we need to grow vitamin D. And vitamin D stands for digging deep in the Word of God. If we're going to grow, we need to be deep in God's Word. And yet, so often, we don't do that. You know, Peter told us in 2 Peter 2, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. And so Peter tells us the importance of desiring the milk of the Word, the easy parts of God's Word. You know, most of the time, it seems like if you ask people what they want to study in Bible class, a lot of people will say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts. Why? Because those are fairly easy books. And we don't like to dig deep sometimes. Of course, they also want to throw Revelation in there. But without having the foundation of a lot of the other teaching, it's more difficult to understand the book of Revelation. But the idea of wanting to grow and getting farther into God's Word. Several years ago, when I was a whole lot younger and a lot less knowledgeable, I was teaching a class on Isaiah. Wasn't my choice. That was just, they were going through the Old Testament and we got to Isaiah. And I'll be very honest, I didn't really know a whole lot about Isaiah like I should have. But we had a younger couple. They were older than me, but they were still a younger couple. And they always came to Bible study, but after a while they quit coming to Bible study. And so I went out and visited with them one day, and I said, you know, what happened? And they said, well, we just don't understand the book, and we aren't getting anything out of it. And my thought is, well, if you don't understand it, how can you understand it if you don't work at studying it? And that's so true. There are things in the Bible we don't understand. We, down at Logan, on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Revelation. We're along about chapter 6 or 7, somewhere in there. But yeah, it's a difficult book in many ways. I like Brother Howard Winter's commentary on the book of Revelation because it's very simplistic. The simplest commentary on Revelation I think there is, but unfortunately it's out of print and you can't really get it anymore. But I kind of follow along with his, but it keeps it simpler. And that's important because, you know, there are parts of God's Word. Peter said in that scripture we read a moment ago that some things Paul wrote were hard to be understood. And I read that one time in a Bible class, and one of the fellows spoke up. He said some things Peter wrote were hard to understand too. And that's true. There are parts of the Bible that are difficult. There are other parts that are easier. But we've got to get through those basic things, the easier parts, and get on to digging a little bit deeper if we really want to grow. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as Paul was writing to those folks, he said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. He said, I couldn't get into the meat of the word with you. I had to feed you with milk because you just weren't ready for it. And he said, one example showing that they weren't ready for it was that they were constantly fighting at one another, arguing with one another. And he said, that showed that they were not mature and ready for the meat of God's word. And so, you know, God expects us to grow. Over in the Hebrews, the writer there, who I've always believed to be Paul, but nobody's really sure who wrote it. But in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so there again, they were expected to grow to the point where they could teach other people. How many folks do we have sitting in our churches every Sunday who have been Christians for several years and yet they don't feel like they have the knowledge to teach others? And they still are in the milk stage in many ways and haven't grown. We need to dig deep into God's Word. We need to get to the point where we can teach others. In fact, on over in chapter 6, right after these words in Hebrews, he told them they had to go on to perfection. In other words, leave those elementary things and go on to things that were maybe a little more difficult to understand, but yet things that were necessary. You know, when it comes to just simply faith and baptism and things like that, those are pretty easy to understand for most of us. But then we get over further into different teachings in the book, say the book of Hebrews or even the book of Romans. And of course, the book of Revelation. And we struggle many times with those books, or we struggle with some of the teaching in the Old Testament. And yet, in Romans, Paul said, it's there for our learning. We need to learn from it. And so, the first vitamin, vitamin D, we need to dig deep in God's Word and don't just spend all of our time with the milk. Secondly, vitamin A, we need to abound. We need to abound in serving. You know, we're talking about growing. If we don't serve the Lord, we're not going to grow very much. If all we do is come every week and occupy a pew or a seat, how much growing are we really going to do? We need to get involved. We need to do things. We need to get involved in study, but we need to get involved in serving in some way. And most congregations have ways that people can serve. And it's not always an intense thing. It's not always complicated. Sometimes very simple ways. But yet we need to be involved. And if we're not involved, then we don't feel like, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, when they're talking about the congregation where they are, they say, well, they don't do this or they don't do that. And my first thing that pops into my head, why are you saying they? You're part of the church. You know, I mean, usually what they're talking about is the leaders of the congregation. But if the church isn't doing something, then do it. You're part of the church. We all are. And so we need to be involved in serving and abound in it, as he said. We find over in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Abounding in the work. And yet, what is our typical attitude? Do I have to come back Sunday night and Wednesday night? Do I have to do... Our typical attitude is, let's do as little as we can and see if we're still pleasing to God. Well, there's an old saying that says, how close can you get to the edge of a cliff before you fall off? There's only one way to find out the answer, isn't there? And that's fall off. And I'm wondering sometimes if people are thinking, how little can I do for God and still go to heaven? Well, you know something? The only way to find out is miss heaven. And we ought to be abounding. You know, the Bible doesn't say do as little as you can. It says do as much as you can. Abound in the work. Abound in the work of the Lord. Abound in serving God. Those things are so important. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. In other words, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. If you put little into it, you'll get little out of it. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he's distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now this is specifically talking about money. It's talking about giving. You know, they were taking up a collection for poor saints in Jerusalem and all of that in Judea. And so it's talking about giving money. But the principle applies to anything we do. If we abound in giving, if we first give ourselves, then we're going to give what we have to the Lord. But if we hold back ourselves, we're going to hold back everywhere else as well. And these verses to me just simply say, If I give as I should, God's always going to bless me to the point where I have to give. Whether that's giving funds to help people, or whether that's giving time, whatever it may be, talents. But if I give like I should, God's always going to make sure I have to give. And that's what he said. You having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you can abound in every good work. And then down further, when he talked about he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Back in Malachi, God told the people, put me to the test. They had withheld their tithes from God. And God said, you put me to the test. You give your tithes and see if I won't open up for you the windows of heaven, and you'll receive a blessing so much that you won't even have the room for it. Do we put God to the test? Do we trust in him? Do we abound in our service and in our giving to the Lord? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. Abounding in love for other people. And love's not always just goody-goody, doing goody-goody things for people. Sometimes love is hard. Sometimes love means we have to take the word of God and show people where what they're doing is not right. Because we love them and we don't want them to lose their soul. And so love is displayed in a lot of different ways. But do we abound in that love? Christ certainly abounded in love for us, didn't he? He gave everything he had. And that's what we need to do as well. Vitamin A, abound. Abound in everything you do for the Lord. Vitamin B, that's another one. That's one a doctor told me to take here a few years ago. Vitamin B, it's got all kinds of stuff in it. I don't know. Balance. Balance. Do you ever think about balance? I've got a little book here. I wanted to read a little portion out of it. This book was written by Brother Iron North several years ago, and it's called Balance. Good little book. Makes a lot of sense. He said, after over 40 years in the ministry, hearing lectures on church growth, reading books, magazine articles, visiting active churches, and having been the minister of a congregation that came from a little basement congregation to the largest in the world among churches of Christ. And that was the Madison Church down in Tennessee outside of Nashville. He said, I have come to the conclusion that there's a key word in church growth if it is solid, stable, and lasting. And that key word is balance. It's impossible to overestimate the importance of balance. Balance in nature is necessary to avoid catastrophic occurrences, and it's necessary for a solid, stable growth. He said, a few years ago, we visited the Yosemite family encampment, and while there, we toured the giant redwoods of Northern California. These trees have experienced phenomenal growth. Their sheer size boggles the mind. Their height and symmetry is awe-inspiring. One of the rangers explained that part of the great growth of these trees may be explained by the marvelous balance in nature. He said, for example, periodically during the years, lightning would start brush fires, and the burning of the underbrush help to clear the areas and make the trees grow more. Nature thus providing a balance, making possible the tremendous growth. And that's so true, isn't it? Balance is so important to our lives. Lack of balance causes problems. Any of you ever have inner ear problems or something like that? Or have that... What's that word called where you lay down on the bed and the whole room's spinning around? I've had that before with my sinuses and all. And sometimes you can't hardly walk. Ever have a tire out of balance? You go down the road, boom, 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 boom. And it drives you crazy. And it's also going to wear things out if you leave it that way. Causes problems. We need balance. You know, I've told people before over the years, and I've been preaching close to 50 years, like Dana. We graduated Harding at the same time. But I've told people, I've said, well, I've heard in my life that I'm too negative, and I've heard in my life that I'm too positive. And so I guess that's a pretty good balance. And I've said, you know, try starting a battery without positive and negative. Or not starting a battery, but starting a car without positive and negative. You got to have both, don't you? You have to have both. You got to have balance. And it's so important to have balance in our lives. Not only in the church, as Brother North was talking about, but in our individual lives as well. Back in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 7, it says, Ephraim, which is basically another name for Israel, Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim is a cake not turned, or some people would say half-baked. And I guess originally they would heat up rocks, and they would put the bread or the cake, the dough on a rock. And if they didn't watch it and turn it at the right time, they could have one side that was burnt and the other side basically raw. And that's basically what the Lord is saying about Ephraim. They're not balanced. They're not serving the Lord. They're not doing their part. In Revelation chapter 3, remember what the Lord told Laodicea? I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And you know, most people don't like lukewarm drinks, do they? I don't drink coffee, but most people don't like lukewarm coffee. They just kind of go, ugh. And we don't like lukewarm pop or even really lukewarm water. We like to have it cold. And I think that's really what God is saying to them there. You're just simply not palatable. You know, you don't taste good. I'd rather you were cold or hot, but you don't taste good. They weren't balanced. They weren't on fire for the Lord. They weren't working for Him like they should. We need that balance. Remember what it says about Jesus. Over in Luke chapter 2, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's balance. Wisdom, He increased in knowledge, intelligence. Stature, He increased in His physical presence, His body. In favor with God, He increased spiritually. And in favor with man, He increased socially. And we need to have that in our life. You know, we need to take care of our bodies as best we can. You know, and try to be pretty healthy because our body belongs to God. The Holy Spirit. We're bought with a price, we're told over in the book of Corinthians. And we need to increase in our wisdom and our knowledge. We need to have knowledge of things in the world, but especially knowledge of God's Word. But we also need to be social people. I've seen fellows that were planning to preach the gospel, and they knew some Bible and things like that, but they weren't very good at dealing with people, talking to people and things like that. They didn't have the social skills. And that was going to hold them back. But then we need to have that spiritual growth, growing in favor with God, because that's the most important of all. We need to have that kind of balance in our life. We need to work at that. Growing in all these ways so that we can be more like Christ was while He lived here upon this earth. Vitamin E. Endurance. Vitamin E. Isn't vitamin E the one that you get through the sun? No? Huh? D? Okay. I remember one time Dallas Lockhart, I don't know if any of you ever knew Dallas, but he preached a lot of congregations around, but Dallas was older, he was 90 or so, and he came in one day, and he said that he was an associate minister when I moved to Zanesville, but anyway, he came in one day and said, well, the doctor put me on vitamin D, and somebody said, well, how much? And he said, and I didn't know anything about it, but somebody said, man, that's a huge amount. And I said, be careful, Dallas, you might get a sunburn from that. But anyway, but vitamin E, that's important too. Endurance. Are we willing to stick with it, regardless of what may come our way? Are we willing to endure for the Lord? It's not easy. In the book of Revelation, verse chapter 14, here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. If we endure, we can finally have rest. We all like rest at the end of the day. Or I guess if you work midnights, the beginning of the day. But we all like that rest. That's important. The older we get, the more we understand the importance of rest. But we can have an eternal rest. But we have to be faithful to the Lord. We have to stay in there. We have to endure. We have to not give up and not quit. We have to stick with it. Stick-to-itiveness. That's that old West Virginia English coming out of me. Stick to it. In the Hebrew writer, chapter 12, he said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in those verses, he talks about, and we can think of it like a marathon race. I've always been amazed at people who could run those distances. Even when I was a kid, I could run, I don't look like it now, I could run fast when I was a kid, but I couldn't run distance. Never could. We used to have a physical fitness test in junior high school back in the 60s. And part of it was a 50-yard dash, and I'd be one of the fastest in my class. And then we'd have a 600-yard run walk. And I mostly walked. And I'd be one of the slowest in the class. But those marathon runners, they run, 25 miles, somewhere around there. I can't imagine running a half a mile, let alone 20-some miles. It's amazing. But he talked about how they get rid of every weight that's going to hinder them. And now they've got body suits so sleek, looks like they don't have anything on. Running shoes are featherweight and everything. But he tells us there in those verses, we need to set aside the sin that's going to hinder us from running the race. The things that are going to get in the way. Selfishness gets in the way. I've always said I think the selfishness is the root of sin. You know, over in 1 John 2, when he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh is what I feel. Doesn't matter what other people feel. Lust of the eyes is what I see. Pride of life is what I want. And it's all focused on me. And that's what sin is. It's focused on me. And that hinders us from running that race that he wants us to run and staying with it. Those marathon runners, they can't really be thinking about the end of the race at the beginning. I mean, I'm sure they do to an extent, but if they did that, they'd probably be defeated before they ever started. They take it a step at a time, a day at a time, like the old song used to say, one day at a time. And that's all we can do. And it's the same thing with living for the Lord. I can't live for Him next week, but I can live for Him today. And when tomorrow gets here, I can live for Him that day. And that's what we need to do. And it's hard to endure sometimes in the world in which we live. They're trying to tear down Christianity. You know, when the Supreme Court just made the decision that they made about abortion, and of course, all of a sudden, immediately, everybody starts hitting at the churches. You know, the people who are teaching God's word, the ones who say abortion is wrong. And the whole world it does that over and over and over again. I mean, look at all the people that were coming after Jesus. You even had the Herodians, along with like the Sadducees or Pharisees, joining together. Now that was odd fellows. The Herodians were a political group. And here they are joining with a religious group because they're all against Jesus. And that's so often the way it is in our world today. We strange bedfellows join against the church, against Christians, against the Lord. But we have to endure. We have to get rid of everything that might hinder us from enduring so that we can win the race. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." We can reign with him if we endure, if we last, if we don't give up. Paul talked about it over in the Galatian letter, about not quitting, not giving up, and finally receiving the reward. And that's so important. When it comes to growth, part of growth is making that commitment to stick with it, no matter what the world may bring. And we don't know what this world's going to bring. We may end up facing persecution like they did in biblical times, from the Romans and so forth. You know, that may very well happen in this country sometime. If not to us who are older, at least perhaps to our children or grandchildren. And are we preparing for that? Or are we prepared for it? To endure and not give up no matter what. Well, the last one, it may be one of the most important vitamins of all, and that's vitamin C. A lot of people take vitamin C. It doesn't keep me from getting colds, but I've taken it for years. But it's an important vitamin. And I've made vitamin C call on God in prayer. If we want to grow spiritually, we have to talk to God regularly. That's so important. Pray without ceasing, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. In other words, don't give up praying. Don't give up talking to God. I know people probably think we're crazy, like we're talking off into the air and there's nobody there. But we know there is somebody there. God's there and God's listening and God will answer. And then we read over in Romans chapter 12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Talking to the Lord. You know, when your parents were alive, you probably talked to them regularly. Maybe we went to dad for advice or mom for advice or whatever. We need to talk to the Lord, our Father in heaven, on a regular basis. Ephesians chapter 6 is part of our armor in our defense against Satan. Paul said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, or endure, we might say. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Truth comes from the Word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness comes from the Word of God. It's what's right. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The gospel comes from the Word of God. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. Salvation comes from the Word of God. Tells us how to have salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That entire armor is based upon God's Word. That shows us again the importance of digging deep. Adding vitamin D. But in this one, we're talking about talking to God. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication. You know, Jesus prayed often. When you read through the Gospels, it doesn't tell us a lot of what he prayed. The longest prayer we have recorded is John 17, when Jesus was talking to the Father. We're told on another occasion before he selected his apostles that he prayed all night to God. Jesus often talked with his Father. As you go through the Gospels, just every other page or so, it just says Jesus prayed. Well, Luke 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Wouldn't it be amazing to have Jesus himself teach you to pray? You know, I'm convinced of one thing. I don't believe Jesus would have lived a perfect life on this earth had he not talked to his Father regularly in heaven. I came up with an illustration a few years ago, and I don't know if I've mentioned it when I've been here before or not, but to me, it's like the deep sea diver. The deep sea diver goes down in the ocean a long way. And he has that line coming out of his suit or his helmet or whatever, and it goes back up to the boat up on the surface. And that line keeps him alive because that's his airline. That boat is pumping air, oxygen, down that line so that he can breathe while he or she is down there in the ocean. You know, I think that's prayer is our airline to the top. It keeps us alive. We're down here in the ocean of Satan's temptation. We're down here in the ocean surrounded by people who aren't Christians, who don't really care about God, who are against Him in many ways. And yet there we are, and we need to stay alive spiritually. And we need that airline to the top. If that diver, if his airline is broken or obstructed or whatever, he's not going to live very long. It's the same way with us. If we break that airline going to the top, if we break the prayer line, we're not going to live very long spiritually. And so vitamin C, it may be the most important vitamin of all. Talking to our Father on a regular basis. Calling upon God. Grow vitamins at your door. We need all of these vitamins in our life. And 3 John, there's only one chapter. 3 John verse 2, I think has to be one of the most tremendous compliments in the Bible. When we think of compliments, we think, for instance, the Roman centurion that Jesus complimented. And Jesus said, I haven't seen that great a faith in all of Israel. But this compliment was given to Gaius, a friend of John. And John just simply said to him, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, physical health, just as your soul prospers. Gaius, I hope your physical health is as good as your spiritual health is. What an epitaph to put on a tombstone, huh? Would the Lord say that about us? Would He look at our spiritual health and say, boy, I hope your physical health is as good as your spiritual health is. Well, we need these vitamins in our life. And if we're willing to do that, we can grow, we can mature, we can be the people that God wants us to be. I thank you for inviting me.